What's good? What's good? We are back. One and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. And we about to bring on a special guest, and he just popped up on the screen right now. This guy literally has 8 bare-knuckle fights under his belt, and he will be fighting Justin Iberola July 12, 2025 at the Hard Rock, Seminole Hard Rock Cafe, Hollywood, Florida. Let's bring on the one and only Roberto Armas. Roberto, how you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. How about you guys?
I'm doing good. I can't complain, man. Where you located at? Matter of fact, can we actually get you to turn the camera possibly to get rid of these little black bars? It's just better for the clips and stuff.
Hold on.
And if you can't, don't worry about it.
I don't know how to do that. It's
okay, we good. We good. Don't worry about it. We'll still get some good clips out of it. Up you upside down now.
Nah, I'm just messing with you.
All right, so let's start here. Before you got in the bare knuckle, what were you doing?
Man, I was homeless. I was living in the streets.
Oh, man.
No, I'm just kidding, dude. I was doing Muay Thai, kickboxing, boxing, and MMA.
Okay, you was in the Army too, right?
No, I'm in the Air Force.
Currently, oh, you're in active, the Air Force.
Active okay. duty, yeah.
Yeah, you look like a military guy.
Yeah, I've been in for 17 years now.
Oh, man, that's what's up. So, like, why'd you decide to get into bare knuckle?
So, it all started. I mean, I've always liked martial arts. I started with high school wrestling. Then from there, I transitioned into MMA because I knew that out of high school, there wasn't going to be anything else left for me. There weren't any colleges recruiting, for wrestling at the time where I'm from. So, that didn't come until like a couple years later. They started picking guys up from my high school, but I knew that wasn't going to be a thing for me. So, I ended up, joining the military, and then I started doing MMA, while I was in high school. From there, I did a lot of MMA, and some of the biggest mm-hmm. problems that I was having, when you have a 4-ounce glove and you hit somebody, they feel it. They okay. feel it. And I was fighting guys that were like 20, 30 pounds heavier than me. I would smack them, and they would immediately go to wrestle and grapple, and that wasn't fun for me. You know, I'm more of a, like, I want to stand up. And I don't like wrestling or grappling. I'm good at it. The last MMA fight, I won by a double armbar. So it's not like I don't know what I'm doing on the ground. I just don't like it. From there, I went transitioned into kickboxing, Muay Thai, and they are very, very heavy on points for kicks. And okay. If anything, I have more of a Dutch style boxing, kickboxing, and Muay Thai. And it's a heavily favored for kickers. So I went to boxing, and I realized that I didn't like the way that people were training to win a fight by points. And it's almost like exploiting the system.
Okay.
So you go in there with good conditioning, and you go in there to outbox your opponent. That's not a fight to me.
Yeah.
It takes skill. It's a technical yeah. support. It's just not a fight.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So when my friend Daishan went to go try out with BKFC in Fort Lauderdale, I randomly jumped in the car with him, and I was like, "Yo, dude, I want to do this. I want to come with you. I want to fight."
Yeah.
You know, so that's what happened. I went to the tryouts, and Kevin Smith picked me up.
Okay. So you get your first fight. What's going through your mind on your first fight?
Well, I think the first fight, you're talking about my first bare knuckle fight?
Yeah.
Oh, my first bare knuckle fight was critical. I realized real quick that just turn the volume down. I realized real quick that it's not anything like glove boxing, and I approached it a very, very pressure heavy. The
Okay.
person that I fought didn't want to engage at all, and they were just jabbing and moving back. So I busted up my face pretty bad. And the shots weren't hard. It's just gonna cut you up. A fist cuts you up, and it'll break your nose, and you'll get all sorts of bruises if you don't if you're approaching it like a Mexican brawler in a traditional boxing match. That's a bad recipe if you have somebody that's just gonna be evasive. So I learned a lot from that fight, and then I've been gathering. I've been changing the way I fight, the way I approach things. Now I think I'm laying out damage very, very efficiently.
So, what's like when you first got into BKFC, what is a weakness that you might have noticed right away that you was able to improve on, and do you feel like you improved on that weakness?
Oh, for sure. Immediately, it was just that I would approach straight into a brawl without blocking or covering, because that's what I do with
Okay.
glove boxing. That's what I was known for with glove boxing. I would pressure somebody and take a couple jabs, because that does not hurt me. And then I'd push them up against the ropes, and I was very, very aggressive with glove boxing. You just can't do that with bare knuckle. And again, I noticed that the first fight. So I adjusted, and now I'm here.
So, before, like, how do you mentally prepare for a fight?
Mentally,
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I
You
don't
seem
That
like
stuff
a real
doesn't
nice
bother me
dude.
like
Every
that.
time I see you, yeah, you seem like a real nice dude. You always smiling at your opponents in the weigh-ins, and sometimes you
Yeah,
laughing
this
at
stuff
them and
doesn't.
stuff.
I mean, I laughed once, and that's just because
Yeah.
I can't keep a straight face. Like,
Yeah, that's what it was. You couldn't keep a straight face and you started laughing.
I can't, especially if somebody's
Yeah.
yelling and trying to, intimidate
Intimidate
me.
you?
That's just not
Yeah.
how it works with me. That's it to me. That's just a fist fight. That's it. I've been in much more dangerous situations, where people do want to kill you. So like that's there's a different adrenaline level.
Yeah, because it seemed like it's almost impossible for a fighter to get under your skin with trash talking, I would say.
Nah, I'm the king of trash talking. Most people don't even want to go there. So
Oh, so you be trash talking a lot? I never really see you
I
trash talking.
don't trash talk a lot. I'm just saying,
Yeah.
if they do, that's probably not the best way to approach it. I've come from a family where we're man, it is we roast the shit out of each other. There's no breathing room there. You can't do anything. You can't fuck up, or somebody's gonna make fun of you in the family. So to me, I have very, very thick skin. Very witty. So I think honestly, it's just not a good idea to try to trash talk me, because it's probably not gonna work in their favor.
So you faced the likes of Chris Garcia, Louis Lopez, Eric Dotson, Dylan Schultz, and current bantamweight champion Alberto Blas. Which one of those guys was the toughest?
The toughest? I don't know, man. I don't know. I didn't really get a chance to hit Blas, because I think well, if you ask me, the ref stopped it way too early. It was rabid punches, and I didn't feel any injuries, so I didn't move. And then the ref stepped in, and I was like, okay, like. I mean, where do we go from here? Schulte dropped me. Mentally, I wasn't in a good place in that fight, and all credit to Schulte, dude. I took the fight on like 3 days' notice, 4 days' notice.
Damn.
I was going through a lot. I had court on Monday of the following, like 2 days later, 3 days later. It was a rough time for me, man. it was a very rough time for me. And then Louis was very, very long. That was probably for me, that was tough because again, you can't just approach things like you would in a glove boxing match. So Louis's very, very tall, and he didn't go in there trying to fight like he normally was fighting before. He was off the back foot, and I took things from that. So I'm learning a lot. But yeah, that was probably, I would say, I think my toughest fight. I didn't really get caught with anything. I just couldn't execute the plan that I wanted to.
And since you fought Blas, it's like nobody's got out the first round from him yet. And what do you think it's going to take for somebody to beat him?
I mean, I don't know, man. I didn't really get a chance to
Yeah.
really fight him. That's what I'm trying to say. It ended early, if you ask me. But credit to him, he hits hard. He's fast and he's explosive. I don't know. There's different ways to approach him. I'm not fighting him, so I'm not thinking about that right now.
Yeah.
But there's holes everywhere for everybody. Everybody's got some kind of things that you can exploit, and that's what I always look at whenever I'm fighting a new opponent.
Well, let's get into the new fight. I mean, you're coming off a win with Garcia, which, I'm not mistaken, he was favored, right?
Yeah, heavily.
And now you're about to fight Justin. And I mean, if you beat Garcia and Justin back to back, I think that looks good on your resume. Definitely. Like, how hard have you been training for this fight?
I don't, it doesn't matter who's in front of me, right? I put the same consistency and the same effort in every fight. And to me, it's the grind. I embrace it. It's not something that I shy away from because mentally I am a strong individual. The things that are really bothering me inside have nothing to do with fights. That's why I don't get nervous or I don't do that. To me, when I'm running a 6 mile run in the 100
Yeah.
degree weather outside, that's not something that bothers me like it does other people. Like I said, I just have different things in my life going on that are hurting me way more than any fight or any training session could do. And if anything, training relieves me from how I feel inside and how I don't want to feel. So I train and I train and I train.
Now, do you watch footage on the fighters before the
Yeah,
match,
of
or do you
course.
let your team do that? Because some people say they just let their team do all that.
No, you got to do both because there's two
Yeah.
different sets of eyes, right? You have different
Okay.
coaches. Different coaches are going to break up different subtle details on everybody. And I watch not just Justin's fight, but everybody's fight because it's important to be able to look at a fight as it's going on and adjust. Sometimes your game plan's not going to work and you have to adjust it on spot.
So, I mean, do you feel like you or your team have kind of like identified a possible weakness or weaknesses in Justin's fight game that you think you'll be able to exploit?
Yeah, there's always a game plan. Like I said, I'm sure
Yeah.
he's game planning for me too. Everybody's gonna have a game plan. There's a plan A, B, C, and if we have to go to plan D, we'll go to plan D, but everybody should have a game plan. Most people that are at this high level are studying their opponent and seeing what they can exploit. So, I look at myself and most importantly, what am I doing wrong? What can I fix? What can I do better?
Has he been trash talking you at all before this fight?
I
Nah,
mean, at least not that I know of.
yeah. I know guys like to get online and make their little videos and post and stuff like that. So, do you expect this one to start fast or start out slow, kind of like a game of chess?
I don't know. Like I said, I've seen the tempo that he starts. He put some pressure on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, you never know what to expect. You never know what to expect. I know what I think he's gonna do, but if he doesn't do that, then we have to adjust immediately.
So, like, you do bantam and featherweight divisions, right?
Yeah, I'm not fighting featherweight anymore.
No more? So you focusing more on the bantamweight?
Yeah, that's my true weight class. The other fights, I was taking them because I don't shy away from fights, you know? But now that I'm being offered more 135 fights, that's what I prefer, and that's what I want to stick to.
So a lot of fighters almost have to, like, do basically two weight classes just to get a good amount of fights, pretty much.
They don't have to. They can wait. Yeah. They're just more likely to get more calls and more fights if they're willing to step up and if they're willing to not turn away opponents.
Has it been hard for you at all to get fights?
Again, I don't say no. If the opportunity presents himself, I'm probably going to say yes.
Now, what's one thing that fans will be surprised to learn about you?
I don't know, man. I'm an open book. Most people that follow me online, they know the kind of the person I am because I put it out there. I don't hide many things. I do share how I feel a lot, but I don't go into the core reasons why I feel certain ways. Things that people would be surprised if they don't know me, they probably be surprised a little bit with my intensity, with my education level. I'm pretty smart. I like audiobooks. I like painting. I like poetry and things like that. And most people that don't know me are usually surprised about those things. But everybody that does know me, they know how I am.
Now, how did your, like, family and friends feel about you, like, fighting bare knuckle? Do they think it's crazy when you tell them you do bare knuckle?
I mean, they've known me for a long time. You know, my family and friends know me. They know that I don't care when it comes to fighting, you know. It's expected now. You know, like if I tell them I'm going to go fight with I'm going to do a knife fight somewhere, they'll be like, okay, you're just doing something else.
So you haven't had a title shot yet, have you?
I have not, no.
And this fight should get you definitely a step closer there if you win this fight.
I mean, I don't see who else they're going to throw at me if I beat number four and number one. It's just... fights don't make sense.
Yeah.
But again, I don't care. Whatever comes up, you know, we'll see it. We'll approach it.
I mean, because you've already beat a ranked guy in Chris Garcia. If you win this one, that'll be another ranked guy. And I mean, if you beat two ranked guys, I would think that should earn you a title shot. Keith Richardson, he just lost again. I love Ryan Reber, but he's still, you know, on a climb to try to get another title shot again. So I would think this would put you in a good position.
Yeah. But we also have to understand, right? And this, I had a conversation with Reber a while back. We don't know what's out there. This is still a new sport. There's plenty of people out there that have a lot of potential that can probably beat some of these top five guys. Who's hungry? Who comes up? I don't care if they're ranked or not. If you're hungry, you got to be fucking careful. You know what I mean? Everybody wants a shot at the top dogs because of their title. I don't care. Whoever they put in front of me is going to get the same kind of relentless version of me. And that's my mentality. And I promise you, there's some mean 135ers out there that aren't even in the mix because they either haven't come, they haven't been offered a fight in BKFC, or they just haven't had the right opportunity, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with that, man.
Look, just for example, have you seen Keith Richardson's first fight?
His very first fight?
Yeah, in BKFC.
I don't think so. I'd probably have to go back and watch the highlights.
It was versus Justin Scoggins.
Okay.
In Myrtle Beach. Do you remember it now?
Nah, I didn't actually see that one.
That motherfucker was fight of the year contender. Dude, that guy is good. He fought one time in BKSC, and he went the distance with Richardson, and they beat the absolute shit out of each other. I'm willing to bet that he would beat somebody that's on the top 10 in the bantamweight division.
And your first opponent, I mean, he hasn't fought since he fought you, I don't think.
No.
And that's the thing. There's a lot of newcomers coming into BKFC like crazy and whatnot. So, I mean, like you say, you don't know where this is going to go. And how big do you think this sport can truly be?
I mean, this is and just looking at the trajectory, we are only a couple moves from hitting that kind of the level that the UFC is at. I honestly think how long have you been a fan of the UFC?
I'm not even really a big fan of UFC. I was a fan of boxing, but I'm really a fan of bare knuckle more than anything right now.
Okay, so how long have you been a fan of boxing?
I mean, I'm 46, so I was a fan back when I was a kid. You know what I'm saying?
Like what year? Really,
I mean, you're talking about like early 90s.
Early 90s. In the mid 2000s, do you remember all the trash that boxing, old boxing heads and fans would talk about the UFC?
Nah, not really.
There was a lot of trash talk about how this and that and how it's not going to be as big as boxing ever. Well, we're looking at that here, right?
It's bigger.
BKFC has been around for 8 years, right?
I think it's seven.
Seven years. And it has the same trajectory that the UFC did, where it's barely starting to get more and more traction at a faster rate. UFC started in the 90s, and it took it 30 years, roughly 20 to 30 years to get to where it's at. Now we have a different ways to we have different streaming services, different things that will elevate a promotion like BKFC because it is a new sport. And at the same time, you have a lot of casuals that watch UFC that are looking to find something different because, I mean, we'll be honest, the grapplers are changing the sport, whether you like it or not. I personally don't like watching grapplers. I don't like watching any of the Dagestani guys just wrestle for five rounds. It's rough to watch, you know. But when Potan fights, it doesn't matter if he wins or loses, everybody's gonna tune in. So it's the same with BKFC. You know, you have casual fans because you have your hardcore fans and then you have your casual fans. You have to cater to both whenever you want to grow a company like that. I think BKFC is doing the right thing to get more attention to itself. And it's not going to be the UFC, right? Because it's a different sport, but it's going to be just as big.
And it's funny you say that about boxing, because I notice a lot of the people that do hate on the BKFC be like diehard UFC fans that just like, they'll never be as big as UFC. It's not as good.
Yeah, but they said the same thing about the boxing fans said the same thing about the UFC in the early 2000s.
It's crazy that you actually bring that up, because that's what's going on. It's like all these UFC fans is pushing back on the BKFC. But the BKFC is way more fast paced and just way more exciting.
Yeah, it is.
Nothing gets drug out. They don't drag out no fights or nothing. Now, they did have some technical difficulties last one and stuff, but they don't drag nothing out.
The only thing that I see that might be an issue is how gory it is, right? It looks bad. The aesthetics of it, whenever somebody gets cut super deep, that looks bad, but it's not as bad as people, as it looks. It's not. It's all aesthetics. You know what I mean? These guys aren't getting as much brain damage as somebody in the boxing, in a 12 round boxing fight. It's just not happening. But I can see why, you know, I've gone as somebody that self promotes. I've gone to restaurants and talked to them and seen about trying to get do a watch party. Some of them are like, oh, we're a family friendly restaurant. We don't this is too much for us. That's going to be changing with time, you know, when it becomes more acceptable and more of a thing, just like UFC did. it took some time before it started becoming more acceptable. And just like it started getting legalized, you know, from you know, it was all palm strikes before in some states. Then they changed that and they changed the weight classes and they regulated it more. That's probably what we're going to be looking at here in the next, I would say, 5 years. We have a lot of potential.
And like, they need to calm down on like how bad it is. It's still nowhere near like the real Roman gladiators where they were killing each other in the rings and stuff.
Nah,
the dudes are chopping off heads and arms and stuff. I mean, y'all just, you know, y'all just.
But
doing
people aren't used to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it takes time. It's a thing that takes time. You can't just condition somebody into something. I would say it's a hardcore like that. So you can't condition somebody into something like that immediately. It has to take time for the general public to accept it.
What advice would you give to like a newcomer trying to get into this sport?
I don't know. It's tough. I think the more we evolve, the more that smaller promotions are going to start becoming feeders into the BKFC. Start investing in those as a person. If you want to do that and you can't get into BKFC, start looking at smaller organizations that are doing 4 ounce gloved boxing, you know, 4 ounce Muay Thai fights. Those you can find in the AMIs, because Muay Thai, kickboxing, and MMA aren't as regulated as boxing is. So try out with those, you know. It's important for you to get the feeling of somebody hitting you and you don't have something to block with. So a 4 ounce glove's ideal and it won't cut you up.
I hear a lot of fighters always talk about legacy. How important is legacy as a fighter?
Man, I don't know, man. I know what I felt watching these guys growing up. Uh-huh. And you know, Donald Cerrone and fucking Chuck and Diego and Clay Guida. There was just you know, an awe in watching them and seeing how they changed the sport. And then even if they weren't champions, like Frankie Edgar was one of my favorite fucking fighters, dude. It's not so much about legacy for me. I think it's about giving that feeling back, dude. And I take that a lot. It means a lot to me. Whenever somebody comes up to me and says, "Oh, dude, you're one of my favorite fighters," that's weird to me. That's not what I think I am.
Yeah.
But I want to give that to somebody else. I want them to love. I've said it before. I want everybody to love this sport as much as I love it.
So you basically want people to kind of feel about you the way you felt about some of the fighters that you were looking up to.
Yeah, it's like they gave a piece of themselves to the UFC, to the company, to the fans. You know, they weren't out there chasing money, because, you know, let's be honest, that during that time frame, the money probably wasn't there. They were doing it because they wanted to fucking do it. They wanted to fight.
And yeah, I think the way this sport's going, it's like, as a fan, you could have a favorite in every division pretty much. And all those guys are probably well-known fighters.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I mean, I have some people that I like. I like, you know, one of my first fighters, favorite fighters to watch was, I like watching Duran fight, Tony Soto fight. I like watching Tony fight every time. Dude, it's weird because I know some of these guys. It's just fun watching them. You know, Eric Lozano is one of my favorite fucking fighters in BKFC. So it's become a thing where I admire some of these other dudes because they go out there and again they take the fights. They take the fights that nobody wants to fucking take. And everybody's scared of this and that. This isn't boxing. There's no need to protect your O. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Do it for the people out there, man. They want to fucking see you fight. That's what you're there for.
Oh, I think long as I've been a fan of this sport, so far, this is not a sport where you got to dwell on going undefeated for a long time. You probably want to get that loss out the way early, to be honest with you. Like, because somebody's going to get you at some point.
One of my favorite quotes was from Elvin Brito, and then he saw me in the back in the Hollywood, and he was talking to me about my record, and I think I was 3-4 at the time, and he just looks at me and he's like, "Hey, dude, this is bare knuckle, dude. You're 3 fights from a fucking title shot. You know, anything can fucking happen. You win 3 times, you don't know." And I felt that. I was like, "You fucking right, dude." Like, dude, I love watching Brito. Same thing, dude. That guy goes to fucking throw down.
And he's pretty. I mean, if you win this fight, I mean, he's probably right. One more fight, and you should could possibly get in that title shot. So you brought up Durant earlier, though. So y'all's name is a little bit similar to your fight name. You're El Gallo Negro, which is the Black Rooster. Now, how'd you get that name?
It's an ongoing thing with me and my family. Have you ever heard of the movie Blood in, Blood Out?
Yeah.
One of the main characters' names is El Gallo Negro.
Okay.
And he is a boxer.
That was kind of like, I think that came out after like American Me came out. You had American Me, and then you had Blood in, Blood Out, and they were kind of similar movies because they had like the Mexican Mafia and stuff like that.
That's one of the true stories. It's not a true story, right? It's based off of loose events. But yes, there was a Peg Leg Joe, which is played by Miklo, JD in American Me. He's the white dude that hangs out and rolls with the Mexican crew. But that was an actual person. Peg Leg Joe was his name. I don't know how he lost his leg, but in both movies, the white dude loses his leg. That was a thing.
Yeah, and I know there was a lot of controversy over that movie where they said Edward almost was
killed by La M. From I've read Danny Trejo's book. They were talking about that. They were not happy with the way they portrayed
The scene where leader. He got raped in the jury.
Yeah, and they said that it wasn't true.
Yeah. Because he got raped and he killed, because the guy that raped him was raping everybody in the juvie, and then he killed him, and he was like the big dog after that.
Yeah, so from what I was, when I was reading, there was 2 individuals that were killed that were part of production for that movie.
There was some people killed, yeah. That's crazy, yo. When you do somebody's life story and it's like some criminal stuff, you almost got to watch out what you're
talking about. There was a reason there was advisors there. You know what I mean? Yeah. There was representatives from the gang there, and they said, no, don't do that. Well, this dude did it anyways.
And I ain't gonna lie, I've always said, like, I'm terrified of like the Mexican gangs, man. I wouldn't mess with them. Them dudes don't play, man. They cutting off limbs, hanging bodies off bridges.
Cartels?
Yeah, well, cartels. And well, the Mexican Mafia was pretty much kind of almost an extension of the cartels, I would say.
Oh, it's different. It's different zones that they run, right? The cartels operate in Mexico. I'm from the border, so.
Okay.
A little bit about that.
All right, so before we let you go, any shout-outs you want to do? Like sponsors, anything, your team?
Well, I appreciate my coach, you know, Coach Perry Rodriguez. You know, he's I feel like me and him are trying to do changes here in BKFC. We invite fighters to come if they want to do a training camp with us here in the next couple of years. I'm considering opening up a gym, you know, and I want to have a camp like dormitories for people to come in and hopefully have some fighters ready for BKFC goes when you know we get a call and they need people. That's one of my dreams. I do have backup plans A, B, C, and D. I'm getting a bachelor's in business project management, and probably gonna go straight into my MBA at the end of this year.
That's what's up. And what fight team are you with?
It's Rodriguez Boxing Academy. Right now we have some nationally ranked amateurs. They're very, very good, very dedicated guys. And I also wanted to shout out my friend Steven, and he runs Shipsco. He always does custom trunks for me for the fights. These next ones coming out, they're pretty awesome. They're a collaboration between him and another friend of mine, Christian Elias. He's a tattoo artist. He made like a kind of like a ballpoint pen style art for the trunks that are going to be coming out pretty soon. And then Jose Aztec Customs, he's customizing my shoes. A huge shout out to him. He's cool cat. And I'm just I appreciate all these guys helping me put this stuff together. Boxer Boutique, he always hooks me up with equipment and helps me out. And dude, I mean, yeah, I'm just I appreciate everybody that's supported me because they like the person that I am, you know what I mean? That means a lot to me because I try my best to give it, put it all out there and give it back.
Are you located in Florida?
No, I'm located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, for real? I'm actually in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Fate now.
Yeah, you know it. My hip hop show that I do is called Live from Vietnam and whatnot. Yeah, you know it. All the military guys know about the Vietnam and
Oh
whatnot. I know
yeah.
they changed this from Fort Bragg to Fort Liberty, but I think we're getting Fort Bragg back.
Pope, no hope, Pope.
Oh, Pope, yeah, Pope Air Force Base. Yep. So you've been through Pope?
No, I haven't. I've driven by there a couple times,
Okay.
but I did have an old friend that's a commander of that area. I think he moved recently, but he was a commander there.
That's what's up. Well, I can't wait to see you fight. You get this win. I mean, they should definitely be, you need to be hitting Nate Shook up and seeing about a title shot here soon. I know that much, man.
You know what I'm more interested in?
What's that?
A job with BKFC after this is over,
Like doing
I'll
what?
fight whoever, marketing. I want to do marketing
Oh,
and
okay.
business. Like I said, I'm a very, very talented individual when it comes to business and education. And I just don't want that to go to waste,
Yeah, and I know that. I mean,
And I love fighting.
Taylor Starlin lately, she's been doing like all the interviews on the road. Like, that's a thing where, like, even if bare knuckle fizzles out, you could still keep doing that. You know what I'm saying? As well.
That's perfect for her, man. She's got
Yeah,
the
I think it is.
personality. She's got the personality. She knows the sport. That's important. I mean, it's not just somebody that's a face. She knows the sport. She knows how to interact with people. So it's good stuff that they're bringing some of these fighters in to do this stuff. And like I said, I'd give my shot at commentating too. If ever Sean Wheelock and Chris can't make it, I'll gladly do that.
I know Chris Lights Out Lotto said they need more people. They need more fighters to be like refs and judges. What do you
Yeah.
think about that?
Nah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not gonna go too much into it because at the same time, sometimes fighters aren't good coaches. You just don't know. Some refs don't have to fight to know the sport. Bill Belichick doesn't have to be a good football player to coach. I
Yeah,
think
there's a lot of that. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of the best coaches, like especially college and stuff like that, never were really great pro players at all. They might have been guys that played D1 or D2 college, and that's it. Yeah, well, we ain't gonna take up all your time, man, but I'm definitely gonna be tuning in, man. The Florida card is always stacked. So that's gonna definitely be a must watch. Wish you the best, man. And whatnot, you're a friend of the show, so anytime you want to come on, please do,
I appreciate it. I appreciate that.
All right, enjoy the rest of your night, man.
All right, Paul, take it easy.
All right, peace. Well, there you have it. Roberto Armas, he will be fighting Florida card against Justin Iberola. And that's a stat card. I'm actually go over that card a little bit before I get off here. Course you got Perdomo versus Adams, definitely gonna be an interesting one. I still don't see nobody beating Perdomo anytime soon. You got Cutman G. Perez, definitely one of the most beloved cats in the BKFC, fighting Andrew Legend Strode. That's going to be an interesting one. Brian Duran and Robbie Peralta. I like it. Here you go. Jesse Barola Sanchez versus Robert Roberto Armas. Yeah, man. That's a good one. Howard Davis, Draco Rodriguez. Draco Rodriguez is 2-0, looking to go 3-0. You got Gaston Reno versus Milton Voltar. Milton looks, he's making his debut. He looks huge as hell. I know that much. Francesco Ricci, who we just interviewed just a couple days ago. Go check out that interview, fighting Dallas Davison. Can't wait. Julio Perez Rodriguez versus Esteban Rodriguez. That's going to be interesting. 3-0 versus 3-1. And you got Jake Boswick is back fighting Leonel Carrera. He's 2-1. Looking to go to 3-1. The beautiful Christine Vicens versus Sarah Click. Sarah Click's going to be looking to get her first win. And Christine Vicens is looking to go to 4-1. And, of course, you got Steven Tomahawk Townsend, who I just interviewed about 4 or 5 days ago as well, versus Keith the Officer Richardson, not Keith the Rockstar Richardson. And Keith the Officer Richardson is looking to go to 2-1, and Steven Tomahawk Townsend is looking to go at 500 winning percentage. And then you got Rambo Russo versus Justin Martinez. I mean, this is going to be a nice little card right here, man. A lot of big name fighters, a lot of interesting fights. Can't wait. And also, of course, it's fight week this week. You got BKSC Fight Night, Mohegan Sun, Porter versus Kleckler. And, you know, a lot of interesting fights going on. Definitely interested to see Rick Hahn in his second fight. You got Josh Watson looking to go to 4-1. And, of course, you got Lardy Navarro, Cito, fighting Anthony Foy. Definitely want to check that one out as well. And I will be tuning in. But I appreciate y'all tuning in. You know, I go live on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Audio version will go to Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much, much more. And the video version will also go to Rumble and Millions.co. Definitely go to Millions.co. Check out all the interviews, the clips as well. And I have apparel on there, new litter apparel for all you dog lovers, all you pit lovers, bulldog lovers. Definitely check it out. What is this? Somebody commented. Sergeant Shooter's channel. What the hell? I'm not even posting that comment. That's crazy. All right, well, I appreciate y'all tuning in. Definitely tune in to see Roberto Armas fight Justin Iberola. That's July 12th, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Seminole Hard Rock Cafe, Hollywood, Florida. Can't wait. And, you know, BKSC is pretty much damn near, I think they have an event every single week this month of June, and then July, they'll probably have at least 3 or 4 more events as well. I mean, they're just throwing them out there. You still got Texas coming up July 21st. That's next week. Week after, you got Birmingham, UK. Then you got 2 weeks later, you'll be in Hollywood, Florida. Then you got the Australia 7 days after that, week later. BKSC Fight Night Philly, July 25th, and then they got Sturgis August 2nd as well. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Another episode of the Paul Pickett Podcast. Peace, and I'm out.